splintered and not all living like it once. Anyways, it's, it should be really interesting. He's like a super into history.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that sounds such right a weird, up his alley.
Yeah, he's always he's an interesting dude.
It is a really interesting dude, isn't he?
Are you recording this
I
now?
I am recording now.
Because I'm not 100% sure how accurate my assessment of his book is going to be.
Yeah, so that's the first thing we'll talk about. I'm here with like several of our SB Nation writers at Pac-12 Media Day. David Gerhardt, Ralphie Report, Sean Fitzhugh, California Golden Blogs, Jack Fallman, Pacific Takes, and Ben Haber, House of Sparky. And yeah, let's start off on the topic of Mike Leach's book, which has been circulating.
Well, that certainly dominated the WSU podium session, was talk of his book. Yeah, I'm excited for it. He's a history buff, Mike Leach is, and it should be really interesting. He does a lot of research. He brings a lot of that kind of stuff into his coaching, but he's just like an interesting guy. And I don't know. I've watched him coach for long enough that I'm more excited about the stuff he's doing off the field than on. Don't tell him I said so.
So what did you guys see from Pac-12 Media Day that you've really stood out to you so far, Ben?
From our perspective here at ASU, I was just continued expectance for a Rose Bowl national championship. Todd Graham, since he's come in, preached one thing, and the turnaround from just a year, ASU's in a much better place, and it seems like they finally might be able to cash in on these big expectations. So I'm kind of curious to see how it all pans out for ASU.
Sean, what did you see from Coach Sonny Dykes and any of the coaching staff or the players that really like was the highlight of the day?
So I'd say the highlight from the Cal end is Coach Dykes' enthusiasm. So I'll admit, when he was first hired, I wasn't really that excited. I saw that he ran a great offense, was really concerned about his defense. But ever since he's joined the university, just everything that comes out of his mouth is the right thing that he's saying. He hasn't made any sort of misstep so far. He's very open and forthcoming, unlike the previous coaching staff. So it's nice to be able to to get some more, more enthusiasm.
You weren't happy with the interviews that were being given before.
They were a little bland, a little not a whole lot of information that that you wouldn't pick up just from reading.
There was a lot more color in what you saw.
Yeah. He's obviously very excited about the job.
David, are you seeing... Yeah, sorry. I'm not used to this. Like, this whole thing is like so unusual.
I'm going to write out all these transitions. Oh, no.
I'm probably not going to do anything. This might just go up in like...
Raw audio?
Yeah, like it'll go in like the New York City archives or something. But yeah, David, when you're looking at Mike McIntyre, do you see similar things that you saw? Is it different from the old regime with John Embry? Do you see anything different?
It's definitely different from the John Embry regime, and there's some similarities to the Dan Hawkins, but really, I don't know. It's definitely different. The attitude he's taken on about the individual players and the leadership roles they have to take and the expectations he has from them, he's putting a lot on them. And from the interviews I got here with Paul Richardson, Shadero Uzadoribe, the players they brought along, they both instantly talked about the things they're doing to bring their teammates along and bring them up to the level they need to be. And leadership doesn't seem to be an issue amongst a team where it felt like it was the last couple of years.
Right. Jack, you're like a general Pac-12 writer, but you're also a Washington Huskies fan. You know a lot about the pressure that Steve Sarkisian's facing this year. What are your thoughts on how Sark handled his press conference?
I thought he did a really good job. I actually was joking in the live chat when we got started. The first question about 7-6, like his life must just be 7-6 over and over and over again. And it's also got to be scary because like you look at their schedule and that could really be another destination for them. So, I mean, he's just he comes off as a real personable guy. He's kind of along the lines of the Moore and the Kiffins, who are more kind of like, they're kind of more politician-y. So I always think he does really well in these types of situations, but he also says what he has to say. Because I feel some of the guys just like, they want to get away, they're no nonsense. And some of the guys, maybe more like Kiffin or Moore, who are maybe a little bit too politician-y, he kind of blends them both, and he kind of gives you like the rap that you know you're going to hear, but he also isn't just like, oh, I'm not going to say anything.
So based on what you've seen from the press conferences, who do you think is looking the most confident going into this season? Who do you think is like under a lot of pressure to succeed? And I'll just go around the table. We'll start with you, David.
Most confident might have been Mike Riley.
Mike Riley, interesting.
He really, I mean, especially after the comeback they had last season, they there's a lot of teams in good shape. But in it, I don't know, he just doesn't seem to, I mean, why would he at this point? But he doesn't seem to feel any pressure.
So I hate to say it, you know, writing for a Cal site, but the Stanford folks really come across as, you know, they haven't lost a ton of personnel. Their offensive and defensive lines are just going to be incredible. They're going to keep doing the same thing they've done the past couple of years. They're going to run people over. They're going to shut them down defensively. It just doesn't sound like a whole lot has changed. And they just don't seem worried at all about this upcoming season. I don't really think they do have any reason to worry.
Right. Changing topics to the other side, who do you think is facing the most pressure going into this season? And looking at, like, the way the press conferences went, the questions that were being asked, who do you see is, like, getting, like, the most scrutiny, like, Jack?
I mean, without USC, Lane Kiffin, I mean, like I said in the live blog, like, he should just adopt, like, a Stone Cold Steve Austin attitude because everyone hates him, and he might as well just embrace it. And, I mean, just being here, he's going to get, obviously, by default, he's going to get more questions than anyone. And I feel like he hasn't done himself any favors, but he always seems to be the guy who's getting the most, like, flack for everything and getting the toughest questions.
Ben, what are your thoughts on, like, who's facing scrutiny and who's, like, looking relieved?
When you think about pressure, to me, you got to start with the teams that are at the top of the national barrier, and that starts with Oregon. And the transition now into the Helfrich era from Chip Kelly has got to be something interesting. They didn't seem too worried about it at all, plan on putting up as many points as possible, as always. And the clashing style with Stanford will be very interesting again in this year. And I think they're on the hot seat because they got to try and win a national championship.
Exactly. And, you know, just looking at the different styles of offenses this year, you're going to see so many different styles of offense this season. Everything's going to be a lot different. And, hey, what's up, Anthony? We have a new member here, Anthony Cassino, UW Dog Pound. You've just been, like, grilling Steve Sarkisian for...
Just kept going.
Yeah.
First, like, 20 minutes or so was about Austin Seferian Jenkins and Kasem Williams. So, I was just repeating the same stuff he's been saying for the last couple weeks, but...
Do you feel like Sark is under any pressure at all? Do you feel like he senses that this is a big season for him? Or
yeah,
do you just
absolutely.
Feel like...
Yeah, he seems more businesslike than he has in season past. He's more focused, I guess. Not smiling so much, not laughing as much, not joking around as much. He's got a lot of pressure on him to win this year.
Excellent. So yeah, what I was talking about a little bit was offensive schemes, and like, what do you think would be the most compelling the team to watch, and who are you looking forward to watch the most this year? I'll start with you, Ben.
Tough question. A lot of good teams in this conference this year. I think it's going to be a good race, but I think I'm really curious to see UCLA. I really like Brett Hundley, and I think they've won the Pac-12 South 2 years in a row, so a lot of pressure on them, and replacing Jonathan Franklin will be tough for them at the running back position. But I'm really excited to see what they can do.
Jack, when you look at the new coaches and you look at the new schemes that are going on, like, do you see, like, any matchups, any teams that could surprise this year?
I think, like, full-on surprise, I wouldn't say it would be, like, huge because they wouldn't go from the bottom to the top of the conference. But I think USC might have a really, really, really big year that people aren't expecting just because, I mean, they have so much talent. And I know even though people have confidence in Kiffin, I mean, if that they can get rolling at all, they can easily win 10 games. And I think they don't play Oregon. They have a decent schedule, not that tough.
And when you're just looking at everything that's happened in the conference this year, like, there's just a lot of the play. There's a lot of things that's happening in college football. The Ed O'Bannon case, the new college football playoff. What do you think is the most compelling storyline to watch this season in college football, John?
I think that. The idea that the Pac-12 is really embracing being a forefront and setting these new rules, setting these practice, these new rules for practice, trying to protect player safety and all that. It's kind of interesting because you can imagine that if you asked SEC folks about this, they might be a little more hesitant. They might say, let's kind of do it the way we've been doing it. But it's in the Pac-12, you have from the commissioner down to several of the coaches, when they were talking today, they really seemed to embrace these ideas.
Right. And David, on that issue, like, Mike Leach was talking about how the bottom half of the Pac-12 is better than the bottom half of the SEC. He thinks the Pac-12 is a more competitive conference. Do you agree with that statement? Do you think the Pac-12 is actually more competitive top to bottom?
Yeah, maybe not at the very bottom where my team currently resides. Hopefully that'll change soon enough. But he's not wrong. The SEC really does have haves and have-nots. I mean, and there's a big break just below the middle. And it's been that way for a while, and it's probably not going to stop being that way. Whereas the Pac-12, with all teams getting the kind of money they are, or Utah about to be getting that kind of money, the sharing of the resources in that way, you have a lot. I don't know. You'll have a lot more exciting programs. You know, it's easier to get behind a program that has some excitement and some exciting kind of styles of offense and exciting styles of defense, even if they haven't been doing as well. You've got a Washington State who was picked to finish last in the top six, but Mike Leach's offense is always ridiculous. I mean, it's you can't help but enjoy, even if he's playing against you, the kind of stuff that happens on the field when his team's out there. And so, you've got that kind of balance overall.
Anthony, when you're looking at like the Pac-12 and just the innovations they've been making, do you think it's become more of a fan-friendly conference than it has before? Like, there was always an issue about exposure and, like, whether the Pac-12 was getting enough, like, attention. Do you think that's as big an issue as it is now, or is it really gaining national recognition?
It's getting better. It's improving, although with some of the issues the Pac-12 networks are having, they're kind of turning some fans off. I know that we have some fans out on the East Coast that are struggling to watch. They just want to watch games and they can't do it.
Regarding the DirecTV situation,
right,
all that.
Yeah. And as far as being fan friendly as a viewer actually watching the games, I love it. I mean, there's so many different styles. You put a lot of points on the board if you like that. I mean, I'd rather watch Washington and Baylor go back and forth than Alabama and LSU kick field goals all day.
That's awesome, guys. And well, I guess I have a new member here.
Cody Ulm.
Hey, Cody. Sorry. Hey, Cody, what's up, man?
I was late.
No worries. Man, you're pulling in the writing. Like, what's the experience been like at Pac-12 Media Day? Just being like, there's like, has it gotten better every year, or has things been better?
This would be my first year here, but it certainly was an experience, I'll say that, from the ASU perspective too, especially just with all the hype around the program and all that right now. It was cool. It was cool for once. The CA should just be one of the longer forums, you know what I mean? Just a lot of people had questions about how they're handling it, all the expectations of Will Sutton, the offense, just all that. It was nice to see us kind of in the same breath as the USC's and the Stanford's for once.
That's awesome.
Can I just say, Will Sutton looked enormous.
Yeah.
Holy
cow. 20 pounds.
He looks like he's added more than 20 pounds.
Yeah.
That's a big dude.
For real. If he could add a strength dynamic to his game, which he already did have, but he, for an interior lineman, he really relies on speed and getting off the blocks really quick. So if that weight really helps him, that could be dangerous for all these guys around here.
Yeah, the real thing's going to be keeping it on throughout the year, though. I have my doubts if that can happen. It's pretty easy to put 20 pounds on in the weight room in the off season, especially when you're a collegiate player like that. You're still growing, you know, to like age 24. So I have my doubts if he'll be able to stay 305 for once, because I remember when he first got to ASU, he was a little heavy and they brought him down, and now he's going back up to that weight. It does look like it's good weight, in my opinion. But, I mean, we'll see if he'll keep it on.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of questions going in the Pac-12 Media Day about, like, the health of certain programs and, like, how Oregon will deal with sanctions and, like, how Stanford will deal with, like, bringing everyone back. But still no one believes that they'll win more than, like, 9 games. Like, everyone picks Oregon to win the Pac-12 again. What are your guys' thoughts on that? Who do you think is, like, the team you will pick to win the Pac-12 at this moment?
Right now, I would say Oregon. I'm not real high on Stanford, because when you look at what they did last season, they weren't really dominant. They had, like, I think 8 games that were decided by a touchdown or less. I think they're going to struggle to score, and I think Oregon's just going to keep right on going.
David, do you have any thoughts? And especially, how about in your division, the Pac-12 South? Who do you think is going to stand out there?
I think the South is still a little bit behind the North for now. Not till Colorado gets back. Sorry, that's totally unnecessary and irrelevant. UCLA, I think, is gonna have another really, really good season. What they showed last year, it was clear they were just getting started. Young talent in a lot of places, and I think they're gonna do better than people think they are. And I don't know if the South is actually gonna push the North, but if anyone's gonna do it, it's gonna be them.
Sean, if you could pick anyone who could challenge Oregon and Stanford, who would be the team you would pick?
To challenge them, I'd probably have to go towards UCLA. in terms of actually picking the team that would face them in the championship game, I'd probably lean more towards ASU, in part because UCLA has that really tough schedule. They've got 5 games on the road. They've got to play Oregon and Stanford. USC and ASU, they both have 5 home games in conference. Each only have to face one of the Oregon and the Stanfords. And not so high on USC right now, so I feel like ASU would probably be the one most likely to be in a position to challenge Oregon and Stanford.
Jack, when you look, you have like all these teams in the Pac-12. Is there any team that you feel is going to disappoint this year? Any team that doesn't going to meet expectations based on what you've seen from like the spring practices and what you've seen today at Media Day?
It's tough because one doesn't really jump out at me. If there would be one like I was forced to pick, I might say UCLA just because I think they have more question marks than people are remembering.
Hearing a lot of UCLA in this interview. Going to win the Pac-12, not going to lose 8 games.
All over the board.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I can't think of anyone that would particularly disappoint, but I would have to say UCLA just because I think people are forgetting like how bad their offensive line was last year and the fact that they don't really have any receivers coming back other than like one guy and no running back.
I'd like to actually answer that question and say maybe it could be Stanford. I think
Stanford will disappoint this year.
I think possibly because they talked about a lot today the loss of elite quarterbacks in this conference, and I still think there are a couple, and Stanford lacks that. And I think that could lead to their demise. And don't get me wrong, I'm not discounting Stanford, and I think they're going to be a good team, but I don't think they will be a national championship team, which some people do think they will be.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree with my House Sparky counterpart here, sorry.
It's nothing new.
Just the floor for Stanford probably has the lowest floor out of any team in the Pac-12, just the way they're built with their defense and their offensive line and all that. They're just going to produce, even if they have their bad games aren't that bad for Stanford. Their schedule's tough, but I could see them, if anyone's going to challenge Oregon, it's Stanford. And I do see that happening, but at the end of the day, I'm probably going to go with Oregon. But it's like we talked about UCLA, we talked about the USC, we talked about the Arizona States. As much as I'd like to see that be true, none of those teams have a realistic chance of dethroning Oregon.
All right, so it looks like we're going to have a Oregon, UCLA, Stanford battle here, and maybe Arizona State a little bit too. But
we haven't mentioned Arizona at all, and I think it's to point out that their offense is set up to be good enough. They don't have to do much better on defense to go for a run in the South as well.
They got to get a quarterback though. That's a big.
Yeah, but
it's a big part of that.
They've got on for else. The Arizona quarterback. No one knows who the quarterback
exactly,
is going to be.
But they've got everything else on offense, and they Rich Rodriguez has developed some guys at places he's been who've been not great quarterbacks overall into guys who've taken their team to a lot of wins.
I think for Arizona though, it comes down to, as you said, defense. They can't outscore teams like Oregon can and stuff. The offense is good, but it's not that good. So they're going to have to play a lot better defense like ASU did. We had some success because we scored 38 points a game, probably known on offense for being an offensive team. But the defense caused a lot of turnovers, so it gave them opportunities. Arizona needs to be maybe like a bend and break kind of team on defense. Bend but don't break to have a shot at surprising some people.
I think that Arizona's defense is going to be better than most people think too. I mean, you got a lot of those guys back now. They're going to have a year under their belt.
Rich Rodriguez had a funny comment about that. They're like, you know, the good news is all the defensive players are coming back. Bad news is they're all back.
But honestly, I think it is a good thing actually. And they're going to, I don't know. The talent they had last year was obviously allowed them to do a little more things. But I think they could, on terms of what they're working with, could have a more impressive season this season.
Excellent. And actually, we haven't talked about defense at all, which is shocking. I mean, like, this conference is known for its defense. It's so offensive in general. But, yeah, so who do you guys think will have the best defense in the Pac-12? Because usually defense does step up. So that's how Stanford upset Oregon last year.
I don't think there's any question that it's going to be Stanford.
Stanford all around. Everyone's got Stanford.
Absolutely.
Got like 9-10 guys up in the front 7. They're just all big, all athletic, and they just rotate them in. I think that's why they could compete with Oregon last year, because they had so many of the same guys. Yeah. No one else in the Pac-12 has that.
Yeah, that's true. So
you do have other teams on the up and up with defenses like Arizona State, like Oregon. Their defense is
Oregon's defense is really good.
I mean, it's really good. They've lost some players, but they've got guys that are really, really excited about stepping in. Other teams as well with defenses are they have them. They exist. Yeah. You don't always get to see it with the offenses that they face week in and week out. But teams are catching up.
Awesome. So I think we'll just end it there for now. We'll probably do some other stuff later, but thank you guys for all joining in. I'm glad we could all come out here for Pac-12 Media Day.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, SB Nation rep.